Today, let us learn together some Torah. So, in a week we will be celebrating Mitzvah Shem Purim. And so let us see a beautiful piece from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky on Megillas Esther. Whole volume he has just on Megillas Esther, beautiful Torah. Yeshnai Am Echad. Pasi l'gevir echad b'Purim. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says, I came once to a gevir, a very wealthy Jew, on Purim. La'atrim l'man yeshiva. I tried to get him to donate money to my yeshiva. Mevusam kvar haya. He was already drunk. This balabas was already high and inebriated. Ubar oryin lo'haya. And he wasn't exactly a Talmud Chacham. But Amar Begilufov, in his state of Shikros, he said, Tishal Sheila me'asidr, v'tanit shuva me'amegila, v'atin l'cha b'yad nediva. He says, you want me to give you a generous donation? This is my challenge to you. I challenge you to ask a question from the sitter, and then give me an answer on that question from the Megillah. Okay, and then if you do that, then, you know, I'll give you a really, really generous check. Ain baya amarti, yavi sitter, no problem, bring me a sitter and I'll ask you, I'll do this whole shtick. Hasidr huva, the sitter was brought, v'ikresi, and I read in the sitter, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimlech alambad. Lefi Seder Hazmanim, Hayroi Loimar, Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech. It's a very strange sentence that we say in davening. We say it a lot on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we say it throughout the year, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlech, thank you. And it's strange because if we know a little bit about Dikduk and about Avar Hayvev Asid, so it should really be Hashem Malach. Hashem was the king in the past tense. Hashem Melech, he is the king in the present tense. And Hashem Yimlech, he will be the king in the future tense. But yeah, we say Hashem Melech, which means presently he's Melech. Hashem Malach, he was Melech. And Hashem Yimlech. So it's a little bit jumbled, the order of this. Madu makdim mes ha'hayve l'avar. Why do we put the hayve before the avar? So I accomplished, Rabbi Yaakov says, the first part of the challenge. I got a question from the sitter. Good question. Sheila Taiva Yisher. So he liked the question. The balabas that he was going to, this gevir, said, good question. Uma tshuva, and what's the answer? V'hizker, and of course he reminded me, Meha Megillah, you got to give me the answer from the Megillah. Meha Megillah, Vada. He says, yeah, no problem. Rabbi Yaakov says, take it easy. I'm going to give you an answer straight from the Megillah. Just relax. Haman Amar B'Kitrugai. Haman says in his state of Kitrug, when he was being Mekatrug against Klal Yisrael, he is accusing them to Achashverosh of bad stuff and making the case for their destruction. One of the things that he said was, Yeshnai Am Echad. Behold, there is one nation. Yeshnai Am Echad. And Hamila Yeshnai Hinadir, it's a very rare form of a word to use, Yeshnai. It should say Yesh Amechad or Amechad Yesh. What's Yeshnai Amechad? What's the pshat? So of course, Chazal immediately began to scramble and to figure out what this word means. Rabbi Seinu Darshubai and Chazal say in Esther Rabbah, which is the Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Esther, Eisei Shenemar Bai Hashem Echad, Yashain loy me'amai, meaning when it says Yeshnai, what he's trying to say is that Hashem Echad, Yashain loy me'amai, he is sleeping. Hashem Kavayachal, Rachman al-Litzlan, is asleep. This was the kitrug that Haman was saying about the Rabbi Nishlam. Yeshnai Am Echad. Yeshnai means that he is sleeping. Hashem is sleeping. Am Echad from his nation. Meaning, no. Yeshnai Am Echad. So you have to sort of jumble, I guess, those words also. Echad is Hashem, Yeshnai, he's sleeping, Am, from his nation. Meaning he's disconnected from his nation, he's not into it. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Ein Lefanei Shina. So as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard that kitrug, that accusation that Haman said against him, that he's asleep at the wheel, Hashem says, Ani Ein Lefanei Shina. Unfortunately for you, Haman, I don't have any sleep. I don't sleep. Shenemar. Behold, I do not slumber and I don't sleep. I am the guardian of Klal Yisrael. I don't sleep. The Atam Marta Sheyesh Lefanei Shena, and you're saying to me that I have, or about me, that I do sleep. Chayecha, I swear, says the Rabbi Nishanim. Shemitach Shena Ani Misayra Alecha Umeabedcha Min Ha'olam. Through the state of sleeping, quote-unquote, I'm going to destroy you from the world. I'm going to awaken from my quote-unquote slumber, and I'm going to destroy you. Shenemar v'yikatzki yashin Hashem, v'yach tzarav ocher. That he awoken as if Hashem was sleeping, but he awoken, and he smites the enemy backwards. Okay, makasavkan, that's the medrash. Now Rabbi Akulinski is trying to explain, what does this medrash mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. But he says that I'm going, Chayecha, I swear that I'm going to awaken from my sleep and I'm going to destroy you. I thought he doesn't sleep. So he says, like, this is the pshat that he says in this medrash. Haman yadash HaKadosh Baruch Hu chaylel nisim am Yisrael. Haman knows that Hashem performs nisim for the Jewish people. That's well known. Throughout history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did tremendous nisim for us. Neshu, his arvus ba'olol shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mahalach ha'ma'ares. What's the definition of a nes? What is a miracle? A miracle is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting evidently with events of the times. So for example, by Kriyas Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a nes. Why is that? Why is Kriyas Yamsuf a nes more than us breathing, more than us going to the bathroom, more than us being able to walk and to talk and for the galaxies to go? Because there's something called Teva. There's things called nature. And nature is what we expect to happen. That's not, by the way, that Rameir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, has a famous line in his Sefer somewhere. He says that Teva, what we call nature, is Einai Ela Nisim Regilim. I think something like that, some Alashon like that. Meaning, what we call Teva is just common mirror. It's all miracles. There's no such thing as Teva. It's not miraculous that a tree grows. It's not miraculous that a baby is born. It's not miraculous that the sun rises and sets and the moon goes around. That's not a miracle. That's a miracle. Everything is a miracle. The only reason why we don't consider it a miracle, nobody's going to say, wow, the sun came up this morning, it's a tremendous miracle, is because it's Teva, quote unquote. It means that we're used to it. This is something that's expected. Nobody expects, though, a sea to split. And so when you see that, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is performing a real nes, a bona fide nes, because that's the Maila Min HaTeva, that's above and beyond the normal realms of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaveh nature to begin with. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted that it was a normal thing for seas to split every day, then that would have happened. And that wouldn't be considered a miracle, because that was Mutba from Sheshet Mei Bereishis. The fact that it's not, though, the fact that normally seas go in a normal way that we're used to seeing them. So it's only considered a nes because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going against Teva. Bechina shel Eronus, Achshav Garas Haman, Zuot Kufa shel Hester Ponim, Bay Meniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemay Rois, Lizran Bederach HaTeva, Ki Ilu Yashin Kav Yochav Ein Apol Shino Im Venisa. Meaning, Haman's taina against the Rabbi Yisrael was not to say that he's sleeping. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. What Haman meant in this Lashon Hara, as the Gemara puts it, Lishna Bisha, nobody knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. What did he mean to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping? He didn't mean that he was sleeping. What he meant was that he it's considered as if he's asleep because he's not doing open, evident, manifest miracles. But what is he doing? He's doing things like regular tevadik, meaning you wouldn't be able to tell if you were living at the time during the times of Purim. You would not have seen anything really supernatural. You would be opening up every day the Shushan Times, and it would look like just interesting palace intrigue. It would be interesting things that were going on. You know, with Vashti gets killed, Esther gets appointed queen, but nothing out of the ordinary. There was no Kriyas Yamsuf, there was no Makas Bechairis, there was nothing that was supernatural going on in Shushan. But everything that was happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing from Hester Panim. He was behind the scenes working his magic, but it wasn't evident magic. It just looked normal. So Haman says about the Rebbeinu Shem, he's asleep. What does it mean he's asleep? He's acting in a way as if he's like, as if the world is on cruise control. He's asleep and it's like a driverless car. It's all pre-programmed. Everything that was supposed to happen is happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing anything supernaturally anymore. And that was like sort of a shtach that Haman had against the Rebbeinu Shlom. It was a kitrug against Klal Yisrael and against the Rebbeinu Shlom. That he's Yeshna Emechad, he's asleep. Doesn't mean that he's mamish sleeping. It means that it's ki'ilu he's asleep because he's not being proactive. He's not breaking Teva in any which way to save Klal Yisrael. So he was making a case to Achashverosh, now's a really good time to destroy Klal Yisrael because God is sort of, he's allowing the world to run B'derech HaTeva. We could destroy them, B'derech HaTeva, it's great. Ano HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Ani ein lefanei shein, and don't make no mistake about it, I don't have sleep. It doesn't exist by me. Yesh kol ha'es pikuach al kol ha'nasa. I am fully awake, fully observant and aware and cognizant of everything happening in the world. The ata amarta shesh lefanei, you're saying I'm asleep. I'm not asleep. I'm more awake than I ever was. I'm fine. I'm not in any way slumbering. Chayecha shemitach shein ani misayir alecha. If you want to see me, if you want to say that I'm asleep, you're going to see how you'll be completely taken down through my quote-unquote sleep. Meaning, kol avadonu bo kivederech hateva. Your whole destruction will come through teva. I don't have to be awake by your definition in order to destroy you. By your definition that I'm asleep, I'm going to show you how I could still destroy you, bederech hateva, without anything supernatural happening. Kimitoch sheina. It's as if I'm asleep, I'll still take you down that way. Nifla hispalash, this gevir on Purim that was made this bet with Rav Yaakov Galinsky says, that's an amazing pshat. However, you still don't get the check. Why? Achmala zevla shalom and asidr. Now you got to tie it back to the sitter. I mean, you asked the question on the sitter, you had a nice question on the Purim, you had a nice pshat in the Medrash on Purim, but now you have to bring it back home. Oh, miyad, I'm happy you remembered, and right away I'm going to do that. Kulam maidim la shashem malach. Everybody agrees that Hashem was the king. Benisim hegiluim shayib mitzias mitzrayim avdar midbar va'oid. In history, historians will all agree that God definitely was the king. I mean, not all historians, but the historians that agree to the Bible, the historians that will so yeah, definitely God in the past, he was very active. He did Yetzias Mitzrayim Nisim, he did Kriyas Yamsuf Nisim, Midbar, the Mon, the Be'er, the Slav, the whole thing, the whole 9 years, the Melchemes Amalek, Melchemes Sol, Shleshim Echem Malachim, everything was miraculous. Granted, Hashem Moloch, we could all agree that in the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king. The Afilo Haman Yadazais, and Haman would be the first to agree to that. Haman knew history. The Kulam Yadim Shashem Yimlaich. And furthermore, everybody agrees that Hashem will reign supreme in the future. Baba Gula Al Nisaha, when the Gula comes and you're going to see amazing Nisim, Chazal say that the Nisim that will take place in Mitzvah Mashiach will actually surpass the greatness of the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're going to still have a Seder, perhaps, by Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're still going to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim's Nisim, but no one's going to call. There's a pasuk that says, "Vayomer Oyd Chai Hashem Asher Ha'alonu Meretz Mitzrayim," that God is alive who took us out of Mitzrayim. No one's going to say that anymore. But rather, Chai Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alive who did tremendous Nisim with us now. The Nisim that will take place, Lasad Lover, will far surpass the greatness of the Nisim that we saw in Mitzrayim. And everybody agrees to that as well. Hashem Yimlech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign supreme in the future. So the past and the future, we could all agree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. The question is, that plagues many people is, what about today? Today we're stuck in the middle. We're between the bookends of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Mashiach. So now we're here in Golus, Hester Panim. Does God still create miracles? Is he an evident Melech? Can you say honestly that Hashem is a Melech today? You don't see him. He's not around. He's like, you know, where is he? Where's the Ashraz Ashrina? Where are the Nisim Galuyim? Where is the Makas Bechayers? Where is the Tzias Mitzrayim? We don't see that today. We just see Teva. Aval ha'ikar hu ladas Hashem Melech. The main kunz in our life, the main tachlis that we have in our life is to feel and to realize that Hashem Melech, that Hashem is right now the king. Right now, today, he's the king. Gam ka'es b'taykev Hester upon him. Even today, in the midst, in the thick of things, of Hester upon him, now can you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the king? Or do you say, no, I believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, I believe in Mashiach, but right now, I mean, let's admit it, there's nothing much to see. There's no evidence of the Ribbono Shel'Olam today. That's the challenge of our times. The challenge of being in Galus, in a state of Hester Panim, which the Torah calls Vanochi Aster Aster Panim Bayemahu, we will be sent into Golus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be Begolah. You will not see. There will not be Nevuah, there will not be Nevi'im, there will not be Shechina Shaira, there will not be Nisim, there will not be... everything is going to be lacking. We're living 2,000 years without any major Nisim. That's a very difficult period of time to be in, because like we need the Ribbono Shel'Olam. We need to see him. Sometimes Emunah is nice, but we wanna really have exhibit A, that the Ribbono Shel'Olam exists. Can you still say with certainty today, Hashem Melech? Yes, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech, yes, but what about Hashem Melech? That's the main challenge of our existence today. Uki'ilu k'dei lo'echiyach kama zanochain, eira ha'nes, V'nasan matas nediva, and as if to prove that this is a good pshat, so a miracle happened, and he gave me a nice big check. So, but that's his vart. You understand his vart? He asks a question from the sitter. Why does it start with Hashem Melech? It should start with Hashem Malach, and then Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech. And he answers from the Haggadah, from the Megillah, that the Megillah speaks about Yeshnaim Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaviyachal sleeping. What does that mean, that he runs the world Hester Panim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you're right. I run the world Hester Panim, but that's going to be your downfall. And now we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described first as Hashem Melech, because the greatest thing that we have to work on is Hashem Melech in the present tense. And that's what Purim is all about. Purim, the Avodah of Purim is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech today. That's what Purim is. Purim is the recognition that even in Hester HaGolus, that's why Purim is perhaps arguably the most important yontif that we have in the Golus. And it, by the way, the Medrash says that if all the Amtavim are bottle, Purim is not bottle. Purim remains forever, because Purim is such an important dose for our neshamas to absorb how true this is. That no matter what happens, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech today. He's around. He's here. Where is he? I don't see him. I don't see miracles. I just see everything Tevadik. There's no such thing as Teva. Everything that happens is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems it to happen. Today's daf, we're learning about how you have to make a bracha on when bad things happen, just like you make a bracha on when good things happen. You know why? Because the same God that brings bad things and brings good things, all the same. But we have to believe that. If you don't believe and you say, well, I don't know, how could these terrible things happen, then you don't believe in anything, or you believe only in the God of good, you don't believe in the God of bad. But the Gemara says that it's all one God. It's the same God, and God, and everything is really Lataiv. Brings the Gemara with the story of Rabbi Akiva, how called David Rachman Latav Avid. He had such a emunah that everything that would happen is for the good, because the Rabbeinu Shalom is with us. He's controlling everything. You know, the whole, within the last few days, I'm obsessed by it. I'm consumed by it. But this coronavirus is like, it went from being like an interesting conversation about Nebuch people in China, and all of a sudden it became a worldwide pandemic. And people, you know, if you're following the news at all, and it's probably a lot better not to follow the news, I think, because it's frightening. But you know, it's spreading, and it's in SAR Academy in Riverdale has been shut down. In YU, there was, two students that suspected that of having it. One of them is that from the person in Riverdale, the son of that man that got it from Westchester, and it's spreading. I mean, there's no question about it. It's a very big pachad. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know. You know, people are. I just came from the doctor's office before I took my mother to the doctor today in Queens. I drove her and. You know, he said that people are stocking up on food, you know, canned food. People are really starting to get very panicked about this. And it's hard to understand what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants this for, why he's bringing it to us, and, you know, what we're supposed to take from it, how we're supposed to respond to it. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I want Shlomo, my son who's learning Eretz Yisrael, he has I want him to come home for Yantif. But he wants to stay till the end of this month. I said, like, you could do whatever you want. I'm just telling you that I don't know if there is going to be planes flying back anymore from Eretz Yisrael to America in 2 days from now, let alone in 2.5 weeks from now. So you ask your Rabbein what to do. I mean, but if you want to come home for Yantif, we want you to come home for Yantif, and I'm sure you want to come home, but you have to make a decision. I'll move up your plane ticket, but there's not a lot of time. Trump said today that he might have to shut down airplanes from coming in from countries that have the virus. He's right. I would probably do the same thing if I was president. You don't want to have on your watch, people coming in from random places that are bringing in more and more of the virus. But this is, these are very frightening times. We don't know what's going to be. A lot of the people are worried about Pesach in the hotels, and if there's going to be anything that you could worry about is Ayman al Aperik. Are you supposed to, you know, going to Chasnas, going to, you know, traveling on an airplane, going to Pesach programs, everything is like all of a sudden a problem. Things that we took for granted just a few days ago, and we thought everything, life was normal, life was good. All of a sudden, the Rabbeinu Shalom brings this upon the world. It's a real machla, it's a real gezeirah, and we don't know. We don't know. We don't. Mamash don't know what tomorrow. What you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning? You don't even know what's gonna be. Might have to shut yeshiva down, possibly. You know, if YU's gonna shut down, and you know, there's 1 degree of separation between guys coming. You know, you just don't know. I mean, it's a pachad chada. I don't want to panic anybody here, but that's the reality, is that we just don't know. But you have to, one thing that we do know. There's two things we know. The first thing we know is that we don't know anything. That's one thing that we always have to keep in mind. We, as much as people pontificate and they, you know, speculate, nobody knows anything. They could be a big mumcha, you know, from the CDC or whatever. They don't know anything. That's one thing. And the second thing that we have to know is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is in charge. That Hashem Melech, he's the Melech. Sometimes the king does good stuff. Sometimes these guys are gzeiros that are seemingly bad. And we don't always understand how the bad translates to good. But if you have emunah that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world, that itself is a tremendous source of nechama to a person. If you're somebody that doesn't believe, that's a pachad. Then we're mamish, like we're doomed. We don't know what's going to be. We don't know where we're going. What do we do? But if you know that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom and that you really believe that everything is, there's a Hester upon him for sure, but it's all Nisim and it's all, and there is a king and the king is doing everything, that itself is a tremendous Nechama. Why he's doing it, we don't know. And there might be a very good reason, and there probably is an excellent reason, we just don't know. But even if there's no reason, if the Rabbeinu Shalom is doing it, then that's also a hatava. And that's what Purim is all about. It's like almost as much as it's a horrible time for all this to happen, because Purim, Pesach, it's Geshmak at times, you're looking forward to it, and now you don't even know like what's going to be maybe. But it's such a Musar Haskell of what Purim is. It gives us like a few days of Achana to really feel the Rabbeinu Shalom and to understand and to pin our hopes in him and to say to him, I don't know. I don't know anything, but I know that you're in charge. I feel that you're in charge. I feel that you're the Melech. You're definitely Malach, you're definitely Imlach, but now I'm feeling, sometimes through fear, sometimes through anxiety, a person is able to come close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. When you're doing everything on your own, where you think everything is good and the stock market is going crazy and everything is surging and your career and your this and your everything is perfect, a lot of times we say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, thanks a lot, I'll do it myself. You know, the famous joke about a guy like a kaifer, like he was driving around Manhattan and, you know, making hakafas over and over again, and he wanted a parking spot. He had an important meeting, you know, and it was right now. He says, God, if there's a God in the world, find me a parking spot and then I'm going to daven every day. So sure enough, he was making like the 30th hakafa when he said that, and all of a sudden a car like starts pulling out right in front of the building that he was supposed to go into. He says, never mind, I found it myself. That's the way we are. We're when things are going good, it's my doing. When things are going bad, then we like to blame God. But we have to learn that there's always a Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom exists, and sometimes when things are very bad, you get a lot closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom than when things are good. People that suffer a lot in whatever realm, a lot of times they steig from the suffering. Sometimes they go off the derech from the suffering. But those that don't go off the derech from the suffering, they get extremely close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. People went through the Holocaust. Different people had different reactions when they left the camps. A lot of people went off the derech, and you can't blame them. You can't say, you know, that they saw Gehenim, they went through Shiva Madur Gehenim, and they had their cheshbainis and whatever. But there were people that went through the Holocaust. They saw their families that were literally shot in front of them. They lived through starvation. They lived through every single terrible machla that you could pick up in the camps. And they came out with emuna like so much stronger. A lot of the old-time people, the survivors that really came to America and Eretz Yisrael and they rebuilt, they went through the Holocaust, but they came out so strong. They were like steel in their emuna because they saw such bad stuff that made them closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And so when there are things that are challenging to us, and we're definitely living in very interesting, challenging times right now, it's almost like a great hachana for Purim. We wouldn't ask for this, we don't daven for this, but if it's here, it's something that we can really bring home into our Purim and understand that this is the Rabbeinu Shalom telling us that he's in charge. There's no rhyme or reason how this starts. We don't know how it's going to end. We know that the Rabbeinu Shalom is in charge. And if we dive into the Rabbeinu Shalom that he should make everything better or show us what to do, he will do that. But this is a Purim Dikavar. We're living in Purim Dika times. It's Hester Panim. We don't see the Rabbeinu Shalom, but we feel that he's here. And the more that we're able to feel him and experience his Hashras Hashchina Benistar, the greater our emuna will be, and amidst Hashem, the Yeshuas and Mashiach will be not so far in coming.